Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here. Lord, we thank you for the grace that's been bestowed upon us by that beautiful, terrible cross. And the fact that Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross to die for our sins. So we can stand before you by faith in him, being forgiven of our sins, having a hope that you've placed us into, which is Jesus Christ, which promises us eternal life. And we look forward to our home that you've opened up to us so that we could be a part of it through Christ our Lord. Until we go to be with you and be home, we live in this present evil world, and I know there are many things that beset us on a daily basis. And we want to take this time and opportunity in prayer to lift up those things that are upon our hearts that weigh us down day in and day out. Pray that you'd hear our request and work mightily in each given one, but it be done to your honor and to your glory. We thank you for those that are here. Pray for those that couldn't be here. And pray that you grant me the grace needed to preach your word and that you'd have us clearly see and understand the truth therein by the Spirit that works in association with your word, and that we'd be built up in the faith and strengthened by the promises that you have to us in your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. For the past few weeks, I've been talking about friends or friendship, things relative to that. Look in your Bible to Romans chapter 13. Look in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, Paul writes here to these Romans, he says in verse 8, Romans 13, 8, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so when we read this, we see that Paul's focus in here is about love. He says in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So we see that the law is summed up, is concluded with love. With that said, turn to 1 John. Hang right there and go over to 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, look in verse 7. In verse John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For, and this is the emphasis, for God is love. In other words, the total makeup of God is love. Look down in verse Let's see, is that all I want? No, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Well, we know by the scripture that when an individual hears the good news for today that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day, we know that when we believe, trust in Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God comes into us and dwells in us until the day we leave out of this world. He seals us unto that day. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. In other words, the Spirit of God, the true holiness of God Almighty, is in these evil, vile, corrupt bodies. Nobody envisioned anything like that, but that's how God works today. For he is in us. And so if you have God, the Spirit of God in you, then that character of who God is will want to work out of your body in your life. The character of God who is in you wants to work out his character in your life. There's a bit of a problem though. We'll look at that. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Look in Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, look with me in verse 14. We'll start here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you try putting on that love. Try it out. Go out into our society and see how you love your neighbor as yourself. So this is not easy preaching. People say, oh, you people there at that Grace Church, you're all about that easy grace, or as one preacher called it, the greasy grace. Well, ain't nothing greasy. Well, if it is greasy, I'll take greasy over sticky any day. You can characterize it all you want. The grace that brings salvation to us, it's easy on our behalf because all we do is believe. Christ did the work that we couldn't do. So it's easy for us in that behalf. But it was hard on Christ. Now that we've believed, we're held accountable to let God, who dwells in us, exemplify himself out of our bodies. And one of the characters of God is love. So should we allow the love of God to work out of our lives, yes or no? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so God gave his law, and that law is from the character of God. If you took the entire law of God, and I'm not talking Ten Commandments here, I'm talking about the book of the law, the 615 commandments that's in it. If you took all of those commandments and packed them real tight and something squirted out of it, you know what it'd be? Love. It's all hinged based upon the love of God. Why? God is love. So his commandments are summed up in love. The concluding of the law is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's self-denial. But we have an issue. That Spirit of God, which is love, is dwelling in these temples, these vile, corrupt, sinful temples, and God is on a daily basis trying to manifest himself out of it. So we've got a battle on our hands. We've got a battle on our hands. Look in verse 17. Here's the battle. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, we have the Spirit of God in us, and the character of God wants to work out in our lives, but we also have this flesh. This flesh works against the Spirit of God Almighty. Matter of fact, it uses the word contrary. We don't use contrary too much. It's just not in our vocabulary. It should be, but it's not. I mean, I don't ever experience driving through a drive-up window to get a hamburger and make my order, and the little teller goes, "Would you like to supersize that?" I never say, "Oh, contrary." You just don't do that, you know? Like, no, I don't want to do that. Well, contrary pits opposites. And this goes back to the rudiments of the world. You know what it is? Good versus what? Boy, y'all knew that. That tells you something right there. Good versus evil. That's the whole thing. That's what we're about in our lives. Everybody says Christians should be good. Well, I guess in a simple application, Christians should be good. But you know what all Christians have? They have this flesh. And guess what? This flesh is contrary to the Spirit of God Almighty. Everybody that's saved has a daily battle going on in their life. Why? You have a living creature in you, and you ladies that have given birth knows about a living creature in you. They grow up to be big creatures at one point in time. Hopefully they do. Son, you're 40 years old. You think you can get off dad's back for a while? No, I'm just kidding. Serenity now. Serenity. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, you know what it's like to have a creature in you? Well, we have the Spirit of God in us. It's a living entity that's within us. And oh, by the way, I might add this. When I die or the rapture comes, the only redeemable value of this fleshly human being is the Spirit of God in me. That's the only good about me. That's it. Outside of that, if the Spirit of God left out of my body, I'd be a fitted vessel for God's wrath. That's it. So he puts the Spirit of God in us and seals us until the day of redemption. And that Spirit in our lives, oh, y'all just believe in grace and give license to sin. Well, here's a license janker. You had your license revoked. The Spirit of God wants to live in your life every day. And you know what it's all about? It's about love. That's what God is. We read two verses. I could have gone through many. It also surmises that God is love. And if God is love and he's in you, guess what he wants worked out of your life? Love. Love. And we have this battle. Then Paul says, go back up, and I skipped this verse in particular, go back up to verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Still cannibalism going on, isn't it? Right? Still people chewing on people. If you bite and devour one another, you can consume yourselves, is what he's saying. You can talk, murmur, gossip to such a degree that you're totally out of the faith. You're not out of the body of Christ. You're not out of salvation because you're sealed. You're out of the faith. You're not going to grow. I know of several accounts where people allowed their flesh to get an upper hand on them, and right now they're washed out. There's no evidence of salvation in their lives. There's no reflection. They're not ready to answer people when a question gets asked of them about the Lord. They have no, their testimony has died out. And it's all because of the tongue. It's all because of the flesh. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. They battle day in and day out. Now, go to my trusty board without a trusty marker. Not wise. Alright. We'd gone through study on Wednesday night at least half a year on the dark side. I thought, you know what? We're gonna visit the dark side. You know, there's a lot of studies about God and Christ and things. I said, we're gonna go into the dark side because it's in your Bible. I mean, you need to know these things. And what we found is that The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years before they were let out. God in Genesis 17 made a promise to Israel. God made a promise, and I checked that. It may be Genesis 15. Made a promise to Abraham and his seed of a land promise. It's given all the territory in the land. It's a huge land inheritance for the children of Israel. By the way, it's not your promise. It's not your inheritance. So when two people come to your house, knocking on your door, telling you that they're witnessing for Jehovah, they got the wrong promise. They're looking for a land promise, and it's not promised to anybody today. So, they're locked up 400 years in what's called the house of bondage. They were slaves. God let them out by Moses. Well, folks, when they were in here for 400 years, the devil knew the land that God promised the seed of Abraham. He can read the book. The devil's a good reader of the Bible. So in 400 years, you know what the devil did? His angels came down to this earth and mated, procreated with women, and the consequence of that, the offspring, as in Genesis 6, were giants. I mean big boys. I'm talking not NBA, I'm talking big. 10, 12 feet. I was driving through the bank the other day, and they got the clearance up there. It was 9 feet, 6 inches. And I was driving up, I looked, I said, darn, Goliath was like 10 or 11 feet tall. I'm like, this was a big dude. I mean, I don't think I would make a deposit there if he was standing in the way. I think I'd have to turn around. These were big guys. They were giants. So the devil in that 400 years populated the land with giants. Read about them. They're all in the land. You know why? Because this is a flesh promise over here. In other words, children of Israel, flesh, are going into a land promise, flesh living in the land. So, it turned out being flesh versus flesh. And the devil was going to use those giants to defeat and destroy the children of Israel. Hence, God's promise would not be carried out. They just about succeeded. The last mention of giants, David, King David, took care of. And it was Goliath and his brothers. And after that, they're gone. They're not there. So, they were taken out. From Malachi, there's a player on LSU's team named Malachi. Really? No joke. I'm just giving you information. You know what Malachi means, by the way, in the Hebrew? Huh? Touchdown! Yeah, wrong. He did score one. It means my messenger. My messenger wrote a book, Malachi, to the priest. The priesthood, it was corrupt. Terribly corrupt. From Malachi to the coming of Jesus Christ, that's it. Ironically, also, was about 400 years. You see a parallel here? When Jesus Christ came, you know what was not in this world, as was back here? Giants. You didn't have giants. But you had something worse than the giants. You had a religious, corrupt system headed up by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the scribes. They were all involved, and they were all of the dark side. So when Jesus Christ came here, the light, he stepped right into a hornet's nest. I mean, right in the middle of this mess of religious corruption. Now, with that said, turn to Matthew 26. One of his friends, and Jesus Christ had some friends, one of his friends sold him out, named Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver, which, by the way, was never redeemed for anything. Pretty much like people who are working for salvation at the end of their life will not be redeemed for anything. It's just through the blood of Christ where you're redeemed. So in Matthew 26, look over in verse 47. Matthew 26, 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him, that's Judas, gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend. It's interesting. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, and you would have too. Didn't say that. I amended that. You would have fled too. So here they come. Judas sold out the Lord. He said, the one that I kiss, take him. He goes up to Jesus, and the wording is, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus' first response there was, friend. Find that amazing. Still referred to him as a friend. Wherefore art thou come? So he brought his little group that he sold out to, Christ to, and they come and get him. And it's interesting to know that one of the disciples draws the sword and tries, I don't think he was aiming for the ear, I think he was aiming for the head and missed. Cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest, and the Lord just picks that thing up, sticks it on the head, and the ear is totally healed. That should have told him something, if nothing else, but that didn't faze him. That is, once again, that dark side that is in existence at that time. And the Lord told him, said, put up the sword, you don't need it. If you live by it, you're going to die by it. And he said, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? I looked up legions, and the word has its origin in the Roman Empire. It refers to like 15,000, one legion is 15,000 troops. So it's pretty large number of angels, 12 legions that he could have called to help deliver him. It would have been a bloodbath. They would have wiped all them out, but he didn't do it. Now the question is, why didn't he do it? Defend yourself. Stand up for yourself. Why didn't he do it? I bet nobody can tell me maybe you can now. The one word we need. What? Love. It all concluded with love. That's why he didn't. Yeah, the answer is, in a roundabout way, so the scripture could be fulfilled. Now I want you to notice something, folks. Notice what happens here. Verse 48. In the middle of the verse, Whomsoever, this is Judas saying this, I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. Note that in your mind. Hold him fast. Then come down to verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, now watch, and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now come on, folks. You're talking about the Creator in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is the only book that depicts Jesus Christ as being the God in Genesis chapter 1. All things were created by Him and for Him. This book elevates Jesus Christ to be God Almighty. Okay? So how in the world are you going to restrain God Almighty? Other than the fact He surrendered His powers to the powers that be, and that's exactly what He did. But I want you to note, hold Him fast, and when they got Him, they laid hands on Him and took Him. Now, from that point on, and this is when Christ came, this is towards the end of His life, so I'm going to do a cross here, and it was right prior to the cross when this happened, before they delivered Him up. Lay hold of Him. They took Him and they laid hands on Him. It's been easily 2,000 years since that event. And I want you to know that since that event, that account that we just read, 2,000 years ago, the religious system in this world has still held Him and kept Him at bay. In other words, He's still captured by the religious system, and what they reveal to you about their captive is all false. It's all false. In other words, they're revealing to you about a Jesus that does not exist. He never has existed, and He doesn't exist today. That's the Jesus they're revealing to you. And they do it through clothing. Some wear certain clothing. They do it through jewelry. They do it through ornaments. They do it through bumper stickers. They do it through their churches. They do it through song. On and on and on and on it goes. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 that if you receive another Jesus whom we have not preached. Well, tell me something. You think another Jesus is being preached today? Absolutely. They've got the real Jesus that exists in your Bible at bay. They've got Him a prisoner. And the only way you can see Him is by having a preacher that is faithful and will preach the truth of the Word of God rightly divided and show you the real Jesus. Right now, they've got people doing everything for their sins. The fact of the matter is you can't do anything for your sins. That's the lie that's perpetrated today. You got sin? Confess them. You got sin? Repent of them. You got sin? Get baptized of them. Folks, they were already taken care of 2,000 years ago. Before we were ever even born, your sins were paid for. I mean, God didn't have to look at you and weigh you out and measure you up to see how honest you were or how repented you were of your sins. He already knew. Your flesh is no good. It never has been. It never will be. The only thing, once again, that's good about anybody here is Christ in you. The flesh deserves wrath. The flesh deserves to burn. That's just how it is. Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, died for your sins, was buried and raised again for your justification. There ain't anything you can or have to do for your salvation, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did we say it was all geared around? Love, love, love. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 5. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Folks, there's no way as a preacher You can get up here and not be emotional about this. I mean, I could get up here, I guess, and really tank it and go, one must come to one's realization that one is no good before God, and one must really examine oneself. I can do all that, but you'd fall asleep faster if I did it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Wait, where are we? Let's do part of verse 25. Even as Christ. No, I'm just kidding. Husbands, love your wives. Watch. Even as Christ also, like the church, thought about it, loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And the beauty, 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at these because they're so important. 1 Corinthians 15, let's see that love in action. Look in verse 3. We'll go right to it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So Paul received this. Now he's going to tell you what he received. What is that? How that Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures. And that he was buried and raised again the third day according to what? The Scriptures. If I fight and call the legions, 12 legions of angels, and destroy the enemies, how can the Scripture be fulfilled? So Jesus Christ was obedient to God and His Word in the Old Testament that foretold the death for our sins, and He was obedient to it and humbled Himself all the way to the death of the cross. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so the Scripture could be fulfilled, which the devil never saw coming, because the Scripture was hid from him. So the devil had him crucified, and it turns out, in the age we're in today, that Christ died for all of our sins. All of your sins have already been paid for. Christ died for every one. It's just a matter of you trusting in Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing to do. You can't add to it. And if you trust in Christ, you can never take it away. That is a true love. That Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He was the fleshly example in the world of God. He was Emmanuel. God is with us. So in his flesh, he showed God how? With love. When you trust in Christ, the Spirit of God comes into you, and that Spirit wants to work out of your body, and one of the things it wants to show is love. And let me tell you something. If you think Jesus Christ was a weakling here, think how strong he had to be to relinquish his power and his authority and go to the beautiful, terrible cross. Because it was a brutal time. Can you imagine, and we'll close right here, can you imagine the devil was given the opportunity to do whatever it wanted to do with the Lord concerning his death? When you read about an individual that has done something horrible in our society, does it ever run through your mind, if I could put the punishment to this, and you go through your mind what you would do to that individual? Does it ever run through your mind, or is it just my sick mind that runs through? Come on, you know good and well. When you see somebody doing it, you think of, what could I do to make him pay for what he did? Well, that was the devil's attitude. He put Christ through hell on earth. and made him pay for our sins. Christ loved you. He gave himself for you. He died for your sins. There's nothing else to do here, folks. If you've never trusted in Christ, that's all that you need to come to a conclusion of. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you. Let's stand and we'll check on the food situation there. Lord, we thank you for this day, another day to be able to preach the marvelous grace of our Lord and Savior. And the fact that we just have this beautiful thing of Christ being in us, which is the hope of glory set before us. We pray if there's any here or if there's any that's listening to this recording that has never trusted in Christ, that do so today and just be saved by the grace that's available to all of mankind. We give you thanks and praise for that and look forward to our heavenly home. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Right. Someone might want to walk back there and just make sure they know we're coming.